Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
I am so glad you could tune in to Call to Freedom today. This is not Barbara. This is her daughter, Kimberly. And I am here to tell you today, God is not finished. He is waiting. He's waiting to be gracious to you and show favor and mercy to you. God takes the time to do everything right. So sometimes that time causes him to wait and it causes us to wait. But he does everything right. Everything. And those who wait for him are the lucky ones. I was actually just reading from the Message translation of Isaiah 30, verse 18. So if you want to look that up, Isaiah 30, 18 tells us that God will bring those good things to us, to those who are waiting for him. We invite you to visit our website at freedomstreet.org. This is where you can find past radio programs that have been recorded and uploaded to the website. You can also contact us with any concerns or prayer requests by finding the email link to barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org or call and leave a message on our ministry line. That number was just given, 866-917-7256. It's right there on the website. We love hearing from you, all of you who are listening. When you call in and you let us know what's going on in your lives, we love being a part of your life and praying for you. So we will be happy to get back with you if you need to leave us a message. You can also feel free to donate to Call to Freedom on that same website, freedomstreet.org. And I just want to get right back into Isaiah 30. We had a really good time talking about that yesterday. Isaiah 30 is leading us to the goodness of God. He's giving some warnings, but it's just a kind father giving a heads up to his children. And then he's giving us promises, all in this same chapter, Isaiah 30. Yesterday, we started in the very first verse, and it sounds kind of daunting, that woe to you. That's how it starts out. And I don't know why, but every time I hear woe to you, when I hear those words, statements like that in the Bible make me think of a reprimand, like someone's mad and that woe is a punishment. And it was a number of years ago that I started seeing it differently. And I hope that the new way of seeing is contagious. I hope that as you're listening today, I pray that you will see with new eyes as well. Our God is good. We are all longing for a good Father, someone who's pleased with us, even when we've made mistakes. You know, someone who never leaves us in the consequences of our mistakes, but comes in to save the day. And that is our Heavenly Father. That's what He does. That's who He is. So let me read verse 18 of Isaiah 30 again from the Amplified Translation. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. This verse, that was all just one verse. It's a lot of words when you read it in the Amplified version. If you're not familiar with the Amplified, they have taken words from the Hebrew and the Greek, and they have expanded the meanings by giving us more definitions on those words. It's so hard to translate from one language to another because there are languages that have words that the English just doesn't have the same word for. So we need more words. And that's what the Amplified Version has done. So when we start in verse 18, how the Lord is earnestly waiting, expecting and looking and longing to be gracious to us. And then a little bit later in the verse, it says, blessed are all those who earnestly wait for him. So this is a relationship. He's waiting and we wait. And when we join him in the waiting, we find a friendship and a companionship that is unlike anything else we can find on this planet. There's another phrase in this verse. It says, therefore, he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. When we think of someone lifting themselves up, we kind of think of, I don't know, someone trying to get a better position. You stand up instead of sitting. Someone maybe wanting to assert themselves in a conversation or picking themselves up off the ground. We think of that. They're going to try again. But that's not exactly what God means here. God, this is a picture of him lifting himself up on the cross for us. God doesn't need to pick himself up off the ground. He doesn't have to reposition himself. He has the best position in another realm. So when he lifts himself up, that is a glimpse or a foretelling of Jesus being lifted up on the cross for us. It says that our God is a just God. Well, when our God wants to create justice and pay the price for something that needs, you know, a sin that has been committed, and so now somebody needs to pay the price for that, he's actually willing to pay it himself. When our God waits for us, he loves us so much that he's willing to give it all, even his life, and to pay the price for us. So when the Bible tells us that he is a God of justice, he's not expecting us to pay that price. He's willing to be lifted up on that cross and pay the price himself. He doesn't just sit as a judge that condemns. He takes the guilty verdict and he pays the penalty himself. Why is that, you might wonder? Why would God do that? It is for the unbroken companionship with us. We were made to be his best friends. We were made to be his bride. And what a dream that is. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that the creator of the universe actually made us, and we seem so weak and so fragile in these clay bodies, but he made us to be his best friends. So none of us have the dream of having a best friend who's so opposite from us that they can't even understand us, right? We don't dream of getting married to someone who doesn't share our beliefs. We want someone who actually shares the same beliefs as us or that we have things in common with. Don't we all want someone who's at least a little bit like us? I think most of us would say yes to that. And so why can't we imagine a God who wants someone that's like him and willing to be waiting on him the way he waits on us? Some of us make him wait our entire lifetime, but wouldn't it be wonderful for us to just learn to be like him, to learn to wait on him? Wait on the Lord. Again, from Isaiah 30:18, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, for his favor, for his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. That's what he desires with us. And deep down in all of us, that's what we really desire from him. That's what we're really longing for. Barbara is not with me. My mom is not with me on the air today because we are currently trying to make a switch to a new service provider for our phone lines, for our internet, for our television for our mobile phone. So it's a big switch, and it's been taking a number of days. So she is waiting at the house right now. She's doing really well, but she's with a technician at the house, and she's also waiting on a delivery for a crucial element to this transition we're making, and she needs to sign for it. So we started this whole process 10 days ago. And I have to just be real transparent and tell you, yesterday morning, I was starting to feel really stuck. I was feeling like we were not getting anywhere. I couldn't get a hold of the right people. It had been days of trying to talk to people on the phone. And I felt like the process was just stalled out, and it was taking way too long. Like we were hitting too many roadblocks. And honestly, I've been tempted by the idea of just going back to what we've had all these years, just keep it the way it is. And then I realized, isn't that what we all do as human beings? We look back and we're drawn to what is most comfortable, even if what is most comfortable isn't really working. And that is usually just the way we are with the things that are most familiar to us. We see them as comfortable just because we're familiar with them. And sometimes that familiarity, we can be familiar with something that's actually hurting us or costing us a whole lot more than what we need to be paying. So we tend to want to stay with the familiar. Why? Just because it's comfortable? Well, in this place of wanting to move things forward more quickly, that's where I was yesterday. Can we not get this over with? There was another question that just came coming up on the inside of me. Why do I need the process to go faster? What is it in me that wants to push it to go faster? What's making me impatient right now? And do I really have better things to do with my time? It makes us wonder. So anytime I am thinking of the word wait, or just waiting, trying to be patient in the waiting, I think of the Hebrew word kava. Kava is spelled Q-A-V-A-H. And it is a word that I was acquainted with over 30 years ago for the first time. Before I ever took Hebrew classes, I became familiar with the word kava. I think it was really God's way of saying, I'm here with you in this. He brought that word to me in the Bible. Anytime that you see that those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. That's a scripture from Isaiah. When we see waiting on the Lord, it's the word kava in the Old Testament. Q-A-V-A-H, and it means so much more than our idea of waiting. It is being in an agreement with someone. It's entwining our heart with another person, expecting for them to be in agreement with you, to just be with you. We're looking for them. We're even longing. So there are those words that we were just reading from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, that God, he is waiting, expecting, looking, and even longing for us. Well, that's that word, entwining his heart with us, being in agreement even. He is so much with us that he's going down the dark paths with us because he just wants to be with us. He doesn't abandon us when we make poor decisions. It's very similar to two young lovers who long to spend their time together. They're looking forward to being together. They're expecting the next time that they get to be together. They're longing for it. That feeling is a powerful feeling, and it's something that really draws people. Q-A-V-A-H, kava. It's a word that I learned when my dad died. And shortly after that, I ended up divorced. I had just lost my two favorite people on the planet. And God himself invited me into a kava relationship with him. He had already given me a glimpse of his joy earlier in my life. And now the joy was being given to me as an invitation, more joy to come, wave after wave. Nehemiah 8:10 is the verse that tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And truly it is. If you don't know what real joy is, you're not going to find it if you're not seeking God, because it comes through Him. It is very true. The first glimpse of joy that I had in my life was when I first realized that someone else paid the price for me so that I could have a place in heaven. When God brings us joy, it is much different than happiness or pleasure. That joy that I first experienced when I was a young child, I remember it was like a revelation to me that someone would give up their life, be nailed to a cross, be whipped beyond recognition, so that I could have a place in heaven. When that became real revelation to me, instead of just words from a pulpit or words in my Sunday school class, when that became true revelation, I can't even describe the feeling that came with that. It is an overwhelming feeling, something more than this clay body was able to contain. I didn't even know what to do with myself. I started crying, but I was actually really happy. So I wanted to laugh at the same time. So I had laughter, I had tears, and it felt a little confusing, but it was a great amount of joy. I want to describe it as joy. That's a lot different than just happiness or pleasure. The happiness and pleasure, those things can fade away real quickly, but joy is lasting. I can still remember my experience as a child, and I still have that same joy when I remember it. That was the first time that I remember feeling that, but the first time was not the only time. I've had glimpses of that joy just by smelling certain fragrances, like a certain flower. There's a black honey locust flower that is pretty common in Oklahoma. And the first time that I smelled that flower, I felt like I was entering another realm. Like this was from a different planet altogether. And the joy that came up in my heart, I felt the tears. I'm trying to describe something to you because I want to know, do some of you out there have that same experience, those same memories of a revelation or maybe an enlightenment that has come to you? And it's something of joy and truth. It's like a knowledge is imparted to you into your heart that you don't really belong here. This isn't your real home. There's an exhilaration that comes with that idea, and it will bring laughter. It'll bring maybe tears to your eyes, but I'm just thinking I'm not the only one who has experienced that. And maybe some of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. This joy is so happy, and it has a little bit of heartache with it too, I think. I would describe it that way because I start to feel homesick, and I don't even know exactly what I'm homesick for, but my spirit on the inside of me does. This is not my real home, and it's not yours either. We actually have another home waiting for us, and the beauty of that home, the fragrances in that home, the tastes, the feelings, they're so much more real than what we can experience in these bodies on this planet. It's that homesick feeling that recognizes we're made for so much more than what we are living in right here. And our circumstances in this life have a tendency to make us aware of what I like to call a constant suffering of our heart. And I think I picked that up from C.S. Lewis. I'm not exactly sure right now. But that constant suffering, when I realized someone else could describe that the heart suffers as long as we're on this planet, I kind of felt like somebody knew exactly what I was feeling and they wrote it down for me to read. And what I am realizing is that when we get a little glimpse of the joy of a different realm, a different home than what we have here, once we have that taste of that joy, sometimes we as human beings work really hard to try to recreate that joy. we try to alleviate the suffering that we are feeling in this life, the loneliness, the failures that we feel like we failed at. And in our attempt to make things better, we might educate ourselves or go after more money. We might try to get different jobs or even look for different mates in this life. We might try going to counseling. Really, it just is a constant searching. We will be constantly searching and working in our own efforts if we don't invite God into the experience and say, you know what? I know this is you. Lord, it's you that's giving me this glimpse of joy, and I want more of you, not more of that food I just tasted or that smell of that flower that I just smelled or more of that feeling like I had with that person. I realize that it's you that I long for. So when we get a glimpse of the joy our Creator has for us, the overwhelming happiness, as well as the sorrow of being stuck in this realm, those feelings can be very, very strong. And what we want to be careful of is not associating those feelings to a certain pleasure. Because if we do that, I realized yesterday when I was talking about it on the program yesterday, the word pleasure loop came out of my mouth and I hadn't really even thought about calling it that. But we can get into these loops of trying to find that pleasure again, trying to find the happiness. But pleasure and happiness in this world is not at all the same as the joy that God can give us, the joy that we were created for in Him. And that joy only comes by being united with Him, kava, Q-A-V-A-H, that kava relationship of entwining our hearts with His and realizing that everything we're longing for here, it can't compare to who He is. So trusting that in ourselves and seeking Him instead of seeking those pleasures, that's what we want to do. When we associate the feeling of joy with pleasure or happiness, then we, in trying to recreate that moment, we might go after that same dessert again. I remember a strawberry dessert in my past. It was something strawberry that, wow, I put that bite in my mouth, and it was that same moment of joy that made me feel like, oh, I've never tasted anything this good, and almost feeling like I never will again. I could, in my own humanity, try to keep eating strawberry desserts. I just would go for desserts, all desserts maybe, and just end up in a pleasure loop of trying to recreate that pleasure and that happiness. But it really wasn't coming from the dessert. There was a moment there that God wanted to touch my heart and say, I'm here with you while you're eating this. I'm with you in this new place, in this new restaurant. And that's what we're longing for, the withness. I like to call it withness. That's W-I-T-H-N-E-S-S. He is with us, and the withness of it is what we're really longing for. Because the feelings of happiness or pleasure or comfort that we get in this life, they fade really quickly. But His joy and the withness, being with Him, that does not fade. Again, I was reminded that I was created for this kind of feast or that kind of taste that only heaven will provide, not the restaurants of this earth. Those moments can tempt us to try and find more moments like them. But again, if we are trying in our own efforts, we'll just find ourselves in a loop, and those loops can become addictions. They can be work addictions or spending, shopping, traveling. There are so many addictions. We can be addicted to anything because we're human and we like to find happiness. We like to find pleasure and find comfort. But those things are so small in this life, and all of us know they don't last. We always need more. They don't truly satisfy us. Only God does. God's invitation to us is to kava. That's that Hebrew word, to be entwined with him in a way that opens the door for more of his joy to come to us. When we wait on him, expecting and hoping, looking for and longing for his realm to be revealed, he does not disappoint. And he will never disappoint us. Learning to wait on the Lord is a process, and that process involves recognizing that my desire to hurry things up is not what I really want. My longings are so much deeper than that, and they can only be met by the one who made me for himself. I'm going to read from Isaiah 30 again, verse 18, the Amplified Version. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up. He pays any price, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him. His peace, his comfort, and his joy for you today are so much more than anything else you could find. So as we wrap up today's program, I'd just like to remind you to visit our website at freedomstreet.org. And if you have any questions about our subject today, please feel free to call that ministry number and leave that message. We will get back to you, or you can email Barbara with the link that you find at freedomstreet.org, and she will pass that email on to me and we'll answer your questions. Thank you for joining me today. It's been so good to talk about the joy of the Lord, and I'd like to remind you to take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.